for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, July the 4th, 2008. Jim Landry is the speaker of this service, teaching on unclean spirits. Before Jim speaks, David and Robert Pennington give their testimony.
Well, David and Robert, who have been was wonderful with her other two helpers, Angela and Rebecca, helping with the youth, they have a little something that they want to say to us. So, David, Robert, come here and take this away from me, so I'll go sit down.
Okay, can you guys hear us? Yeah. Well, my name's David Pennington.
And I'm his brother, Robert.
And we're from Texas. We live about 4 hours away or so. And we came up here after our mom insisted this was such a great place to be and the awesome teaching here. And so we came up during a spring.
One of the men's meetings, I believe, or specifically for that, I believe.
Yeah. And then we ended up staying for the summer camp, and they asked us last year if we'd do that. And so we did it last year, and then this year we were invited back here to do it again. And we're loving it. I hope you guys are too, because this is really good teaching. This is cool. Well, Mr. Miller asked us to share some of the things about raising kids or just about being a youth from, you know, possibly someone who still is. And one of the things that I've really been noticing lately is that despite the fact that we're supposed to be holy and we're supposed to be soldiers and we're supposed to be fighting, we are spending so much time with the enemy. And we're inviting so many things in that totally defeat and destroy everything that we work on. One of the things that seems to cause a lot of problems is the TV. It's a perfect training ground for any kind of sin you could ever want to do. I mean, you can learn anything how to do it 24/7. And I don't remember the statistics, but I mean, the minimum that the average American family spends is like 2 hours a day or something like that. Watching this, learning from it, learning how to be a proper person and how to fit into the world and how they should act and who they should mimic. And, I can't. Some of the stuff that's on there is just mind-boggling. I mean, we've grown up without a TV, but every now and then when we're at a motel or, you know, somewhere at a friend's house, we see some stuff that comes on and we're like, and you're letting your kids watch this. You're like encouraging them to learn this way of life and how to do this.
The Bible says in Philippians 4:8, it says, think on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, what is admirable. And our society, our country, used to have those, and that was lifted up. It was told to each one of the young kids, this is what you should be. You see that hero. You see our men and women that fought on the front for our freedom, for truth, for justice, fighting against the enemy. And they were taught to respect these things. Well, what happened? Around the 1918s, 1920s, you know, when America was starting to get new inventions and convenience became, wow, we can wash our clothes in 20 minutes instead of 2 hours. When we began to become lax and fat, when we began to go to other countries and receive the immorality from other countries that had been there for a long time, France and England, that was starting to decay morally, we brought that back. And then we began to go, you know, since they're doing it, it must not be so bad. We began to impress that upon our youth. We began to grow up in a, well, I guess it's not so bad they're doing it. And then, lo and behold, we found out we could take pictures and put them in order. And hey, we could make movies. And of course, that led to the devil's like, hey, I can use this. And that began, it's a training ground. Everything we see and hear is training us. The kids do not believe that. They do not understand that because the parents don't teach them. They do not understand that what goes in here repetitively gets into your heart. And what does the Bible say? Oh, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Actions are done from what is in here. So if your heart is being filled with lies, with hate, with sexual immorality, with every kind of disastrous thing that the devil wants us to do, then how can we expect our teenagers to be godly? I look at the youth around me, I look at my generation, and I see their music. Their music is devil-loving and God-hating. I see that their books they're reading, even some Christian ones, are sensuous and focused upon, you know, our lusts. They throw a little bit of good stuff in there, but it's mainly focusing upon our flesh, what we get, what we want, love and power and position. Then I look at the TV. That's a big one. Because our eyes, it's proven that when you see pictures, you remember it many, many days later, way more than someone just speaking to you. Pictures stay in our mind. And so when we see the evil being done, our hearts get hardened. I mean, our hearts become hardened. We begin to realize that, or we begin to think that sin is just, well, hey, that, you know, I'm not smoking, you know, marijuana, or maybe I am, but hey, I'm not doing cocaine, or, well, maybe I'm doing cocaine, but I'm not doing heroin, or, you know, we begin to go, well, hey, I think I'll go this way just a little bit more, and hey, since he's way over there, I'm not that far, move over just a little bit more, nothing big. And that is how our morality slowly changes. The devil is pretty shrewd. He is smart. He doesn't just come up to you and say, you need to do drugs right now. No, no, he says, hey, you know, this stuff is kind of cool. 20 days later, he's like, hey, this stuff is really cool. Hey, your friends are all doing it. You should do it. He is subtle. He is very subtle. And if we do not fight him, then we will lose the ground.
And it happens like that in TV, too. I mean, I can remember watching shows where you'd have the good guy and he was, you know, going to take out the bad guy, and now here I am years later and I can't tell you how many people I've seen killed on TV. I mean, thousands of them in all the videos. I probably mentally know how to kill a person in every possible way. I know, you know, all the junk that they've poured onto the thing. I mean, we kicked the TV out of our house a long time ago. Our mom was smart enough to say, this isn't glorifying, you're not going to get a lot out of it. And so, while we have TV, we don't watch it all the time. We just rent movies, maybe, or, you know, borrow some from our friends. But even doing that, it's like incredible the amount of stuff, the amount of garbage that goes in, and the amount of training we receive in the things of the world. And not, you know, I mean, I don't sit around and watch, or I mean, sit around and, or I haven't, for when I was growing up, sat around and read the Bible for 2 hours, or 3 hours, or, you know, those long movies, 6 hours. You know, I can't remember as a child sitting around for 6 hours and studying God's Word or praising Him, but I can remember movies that are 6 hours long. I remember doing that. And then it goes into other aspects of life. You'd be in, I mean, I've done pretty much every type of schooling there is. Homeschooling, public schooling, private schooling, charter schooling, independent study, whatever. So, I've done it all. But in the public school, there's all this influence again. There's another 8 hours of it a day that that you guys would have to fight against, that the church would have to, the Bible say would have to take back, because the teachers are saying New Age stuff. If you just believe something's true, it is true. Just believe that there's a mailbox and there's a mailbox. Doesn't matter if there's not, you know. There's a non-zero chance that something's going to happen, and you're a monkey. And so you're sitting around listening to teachers just go on about baloney and this and that and whatever they believe. And then all the kids are like, forget this. Look at what, you know, we're doing over here, or check out what we're doing tonight, or all this. And so they get 8 hours of that, and they do a couple hours of TV, and boom, in one day you've got counteract 10 hours of this stuff or more. And
do you, let's just tell them a little bit about our history, our family, because our mom, when I was about one or two, my mom divorced my dad because he was doing drugs, mainlining drugs, and of course there's a high risk of HIV with that. And she was like, well, I don't want to get that from him, you know, and so she said, okay, listen, you know, you got to stop this. And of course he wouldn't. So she said, okay, I'm going to divorce you because I've got to protect my kids. So she did when I was one or two. My dad was divorced from my mom. So now you've got a single mom with two little boys. You know, she did not have a college degree. She had a high school degree, working window jobs and all that. But what she did was she said, Lord, since I do not have a husband, you will be my husband. Lord, since my children do not have a father, you will be their father. She put God first. That's key. If you are a single mom or you're a grandparent or whatever it may be, God, you have to give the children over to God. Now, besides that, also, she took steps because you can't just... if you are being fed lies and deceit and stuff, how are you going to act on good stuff? We can't let our teenagers do all this stuff and then take them to church for an hour and expect them to be Christian. So our mom, like David was saying, said, okay, no TV. And by the time I was like 11, mom said, hey, you know, why don't we get TV? And I, by the time I was 11, she had instilled so much into us that I said, no, no TV. A little kid. I said no TV because of what my mom had shown me. Because I realized from her wisdom, from her example, you guys are an example to your kids. Way more. It doesn't matter what psychologists say, like, you know, they get 1% from, you know, this guy, and then, you know, 20% comes from their friends, and 50... No. The parent, they are watching you. You are their hero when they're little. It doesn't matter if they disrespect you. They listen to you more than anybody else. So our mom set up times. I mean, I was listening to Chuck Swindoll and R.C. Scrolls and all these when I was 1, 2, 3, 4. When I was 3 years old, I was praying for my mom that she would stop smoking. And then just one day, she just stopped smoking. She's like, I don't even want to quit smoking, and I'm just giving up cigarettes. Because she had instilled in me to pray. She had instilled in both of us. She had realized that kids are sponges. And she had set up what we were to soak in. If the devil is telling you, because he does, if the devil is telling you these kids cannot understand grown-up things, they cannot understand the gospel, they cannot understand the things of God, that is false and that's a lie from the devil to get you to stop teaching your kids about God. They're like, but you'll drive them away. They'll hate God because you're forcing it down their throat. No. The devil is forcing this down our throat. This is life to us. So give us life. Do not choke the life out of your kid by saying, well, he's not ready. Give them everything you've got. Leave them in God's hand. It's God's, okay? I did my duty. I gave my child to God. I taught them the wisdom of God. Then let God worry about it. It's up to them to make their decisions once you have done it. So that is our, you know, basically story, is our mom has been faithful to God, faithful in raising us, getting rid of, mom said, no, you know, PG-13 movies, no, or even PG movies, no bad books, no bad music. We never listened to any secular music. It was either, for most of our life, we've listened to Bible studies.
Yeah.
Really, that we were listening to K-Wave in California with all the great teachers just teaching all the time. I didn't hear any rock music or, you know, this, you know, contemporary stuff until I was like 11 or 12. I was like, whoa, this is kind of interesting. But, I mean, we were raised on Bible studies, really. And you know what? It did not drive me away from God. I'm still here. It has set me firmly upon the foundation. You've got to have the foundation of Jesus Christ. And it's your responsibility as the parent, to do that. Not the church, not the Christian school, not a mentor, not a friend. It's the parent's job to set that up. It's the authority, as they were saying. First it's God, then it's the dad, then it's the mom, then it's us, the children.
Not only did she take this stuff away, like, well, I'm just gonna take away TV, and, you know, some people would be like, oh, you're locking your kids up and not letting them experience the world. But she replaced it with what God would want it replaced with things of Him, so that we would have something to replace it with, something that was worth more, that we'll take for all eternity. I mean, I hopefully, and no, I know, I'm not taking those movies with me to eternity. I'm gonna forget those. Those are bad. But she needed this teaching, and we needed this teaching, and even if it was just doing things, like taking us to, you know, go help out another family, and whatever it was, that she was trying to replace the things of this world, trying to fight the battle and get us equipped so that when we got older, we wouldn't be rusty, like, well, we have no idea about any of this stuff. All we know is the world. All we know is what we've seen on TV and what we've seen in school. She wanted us to know things about God and things about who He is and how to serve Him. And so we're really grateful for that.
Yeah, just one thing I would like to leave with the parents, or a couple of things, is your child is looking up to you, that he or she is listening to you, that you have the authority over your child. I see so many kids that, I mean, in the grocery store or wherever I may be, that do not listen to their parents at all. And that is because the parent is going, oh, baby, I just want to cuddle you and give you every kind of, you know, rich, you know, luxury that you can have. And I'm supposed to help their self-esteem. I'm supposed to keep them up and thinking positive about themselves. Not when they're disobeying you. That's time for the spanking. That's time for the corner. That's time for no video games. That's time for whatever it may be. Dr. Dobson, when my mom was struggling with it, she's like, but when I spanked them, you know, she'd go to bed crying because she felt like she was just an evil person spanking these dear little kids. Yeah, right. And so she'd go to bed crying, thinking how evil she was. But Dr. Dobson laid out the rule. You draw a line, and you tell them, do not pass that line. And when they stick their big hairy toe over that line, time for a spanking, or whatever you have decided the punishment was. For me, spankings work. For some kids I know, they laugh while you're spanking them. So decide what your punishment is, and keep that line sturdy. God doesn't waver in His judgments. When we cross the line, we get punished. So the children also need to be punished. It may, you know, I know this because my mom has told us that, yes, it does hurt. And the devil will say, hey, you are so evil. You are being, you know, just nasty to these kids. No, no, no. This is the authority that God is over you, and you are over your children. Do not be lack in disciplining them. Love them. Love them by disciplining them. Paul said that we respected our fathers for the discipline that they gave us. I say every day to my mom, I'm so glad that you spanked us. I'm so glad that you disciplined us. Really, really, I am thankful for that because I see my peers and I see the ones that were not disciplined and not given true love and not taught about the Word. And I go, oh, I am so thankful I am not them. Right, it is. I am 18.
I'm 21.
And we come from Robert. I'm Robert. Oh, Pennington.
Yeah, and David Pennington.
Yeah. We did not come from a good background. Okay, my mom was a drug addict. My mom was an alcoholic. My dad was a drug addict, alcoholic. And all the way back in all of our family lines, I know of alcohol being key. In fact, they said that my grandparents lived so long because of the vodka in their veins. That was actually said of my family, that was why they lived so long. So alcoholism and drugs have been stopped. They've been completely cut off. The curse has been completely removed. The Lord has been very good to us. So do not listen to the lies of the enemy. Take the teachings you receive here. Pass it on to your children. Do not wait until they start rebelling at 11 and 12 when they begin to go, hey, I can do what, you know, my buddy's doing. Do not wait till then to try to discipline them. No, no, no. Train them up when they're 1, 2, 3, 4. Right now, start today. And another thing is, Mom never let us hang out with bad kids. Okay, I only had one friend many times in my life. And for the last 2 or 3 years, I haven't had any friends that are my age because I don't want to hang out with them. But it is very important who your child associates with. If you're letting them associate with those that are going the wrong path, your child's going to want to follow. So be careful, even though it may be painful, who you let your child associate with. Mom, set the guideline for who we could associate with. And it was ingrained in my mind who I would let myself associate with.
And if we are going to fight a battle, we need to be trained. And we look to you guys to train us. Otherwise, we're going to be out there like the story that he told last night about the men who had no idea even how to clean their gun. I mean, they just barely knew how to hold it. And, you know, that's all kids are going to know how to do is hold the Bible if that's all that they've ever done or that's all they've ever seen or anything. And I know I work for people that make a lot of money. I mean, families of, you know, millionaires. And they are so busy making money to make sure their kids always have everything they want that they've left the training of how to use these weapons to the schools, to the TVs, to their friends, all this, because they supposedly think that the way to love them is to go out and spend their whole life getting money to make sure that they have all this stuff that God hates. To make sure that they have all this stuff that the people that founded our country didn't have. You know, they were taught the value of family, and they were taught the value of working hard, and they were taught about God's love. They weren't taught how to use a cell phone or, you know, whatever it is, taught, you know, the best way to, you know, get a job or
like they said, entrepreneur, businessmen, make money, get fleshly things, get carnal things, be a part of the world. And one last scripture I wanted to say was, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that entangles us, or let us throw off everything that hinders us, and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run the race marked out for us to the glory of God. That is my verse, is I'm going to flee from sin. What was the command of Timothy? Flee from youthful lusts. Run away. Set it up so your child can run. Don't put blocks in their path. They've already got too many of those. Remove some. Take away the TV. Take away the bad video games. Take away the bad friends. Take away everything that gets in their way to run that race.
Don't work hard to make sure they have more stuff to entangle themselves with.
It was God. It's completely God, because we can't do it. We can't. Okay, it's Allison. Allison Lorraine Pennington. And she has raised us as a single mom, homeschooling us, too, on top of that, without an education, because she relies on God and everything. She's like, I don't know where money comes from, but we always have enough. God's her provider. He is her husband. He has always taken care of us. So let's bow our heads now and just pray for our youth. Lord Jesus, we just come before you right now. Lord, there's no eloquence in me. Lord, I just pour out my heart. I'm so brokenhearted, Lord, for my generation. Lord, I just see them in such pain, Lord, and they don't even know it, many of them. Lord, they have been led astray by the works of the enemy. They have been completely ambushed, Lord Jesus. And there isn't many to teach them. Lord, I ask right now, Lord, that you would bring repentance to this nation, that would wake up our youth, that would wake up every child here, Lord Jesus, to see into your spiritual realm. Lord, we have looked for so long at the things that are around us, the flesh, Lord Jesus. Lord, open up our eyes now, Lord, all the youth, Lord, open up our eyes to see that there is a battle being waged right in their minds, Lord, right over them, over their souls for all eternity. Lord, I ask that you raise up young people that are strong in you, that have good foundation, Lord Jesus, that have power in their words because it is your words, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask that you just bring truth into our lives. Lord, let your children speak truth, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just pray that you would once again let there be Joshuas and Calebs, the young men that would raise up and go into your promised land, Lord Jesus. Lord, even you were 30, Lord, and 12, Lord, when you, or around that age, 12 years old, when you were teaching the old men. Lord, when you were doing such awesome things here on earth. Lord, you were a young man. So, Lord, I ask that you let your spirit dwell in these young men that are yours. And, Lord, give us the power to fight when these temptations come. Lord, we are so ridden with temptation, Lord Jesus. It is hard to flee from youthful lusts. Lord, I ask that you would give us mentors. You would give us parents, Lord Jesus. That would give us a sturdy, straight path, Lord Jesus. That would not hinder us by letting us go off in our youthful lusts, but would remove the youthful lusts so that we might walk the straight path. Lord, I just ask a blessing over all parents and grandparents here. All those in authority over their children or over others' children. Lord, I ask that you give them wisdom, Lord, in each situation to know what to do. Lord, give them strength, Lord, when they must do and make hard decisions, Lord Jesus. Lord, give them peace, knowing that you are more of a father than any father here on earth, that you love their children more than they could ever even think. Lord Jesus, Lord, let it be done as you want it to be done.
And Father, I ask that you would bless them with the opportunities and the chances to serve you, with the chances to attend Bible study and for mentors to come along beside them and to go on missions trips. I ask that you'd open their eyes to the things going on around them, that you would show them all the opportunities you give them. And I ask that you'd ingrain in them, just burn on their heart the realization that you have a plan, a perfect plan. You've totally mapped out their lives. And I ask that you'd show them that. Show them the possibilities that you have in them. I ask that you would help them to seek you, to have this desire and this hunger to serve you. And I just pray that you would watch over these families, that you would protect them from the attacks of the enemies, that you would help these kids to be a light to other families, to other youth who are also going through these same things. We don't want a bunch of Christians that are just barely serving you. We want a bunch of Christians that can be seen far off. We want, because we know that's your will. You want us to glorify you. We want us to proclaim you above everyone else. Above everything else, we want you to be our model and our goal and our desire and our focus. I ask that, like your word says, you would help us to acknowledge you before all men so that you would make our paths straight. We would know what to do because we're seeking you and you're guiding us. And I pray that you would just send a revival through all of the youth, all of the adults, that you would awaken America back to the country that it was created for, back to people who would put everything on the line to serve you, to serve one another, and to be an example of Christ's love. And I just ask that you bless the rest of this camp, and that you would help everyone to really understand and to focus on what you have for each of us, why we're here, and what we can learn, and how we can help and serve others and serve you. And I just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have been blessed, the camp has, for several years, with Diane being the head, and then to have such wonderful helpers, as she said, this camp meeting. It is, it's just wonderful. And tell you what happened when we were kids. When we got in trouble, we lived on the farm, and we went out and cut our own switch. Absolutely. We went and cut our own switch, and that's what we got. And if it didn't suit Mother, we went out and got another one. That's right. And that'll help you to straighten up. Amen. Well, where's my preacher at? Well, Jim.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Fathers, we gather in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for all you have done this evening. Oh, it's just an awesome, awesome time. Awesome presence. All of our hearts prayerfully are being touched. You promise to give us each fuel for our journeys. Oh God, we're just so thankful. Just so thankful. Pray for strength right now for the battle as we approach a late hour this evening. That is your will for us to be here, that we would awaken and that your word would go in our hearts, change us. We want to be like you. We want to be transparent. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think as we were being blessed this evening, I was mindful of how the camp, how Pastor Miller and the camp had accepted me and brought me in as a son. And I just really appreciate it. I don't always, you know, tell you things, but I don't know if I tell you I love you, you know. I really appreciate it. I try to make that known each time I come. And I try to make every meeting, that's my agenda, to be here every meeting, whether the name appears on the newsletter or not, that's not important. But the entire evangelistic aspect of the ministry is because of you and because of the apostolic leadership here, Pastor Glenn Miller. There would be no New York. There would be no Teresa on the airplane saying, "What you reading back there at the Bible?" Now she's been coming here for 2 years. I was on the way to New York, met the airline stewardess. We're all interconnected. Little Angela was a little whatnot then. I think she's 13 or 12 when I met her or something like that. Some of you young people got older. A lot of connections here all around. So I just see the interconnection. And we're all connected. We all got a part. And how can I escape such a great testimony here? As all of the materials came out of much battle in my own life. As the boys spoke, coming from a divorced family, judging your parents. In my case, I wrote the booklet, The Bastard Curse. My dad was in career in war. He was also captured POW for a season. And so then that bastard book came out of that. The bastard book is about illegitimacy, being born without a father, and then God became my father. Then God restored the father's love to me and my father and I, just like that he's 78. And strange fire came out of submitting to apostolic leadership, realizing that mentorship was everything to me. I needed it more than ever because my whole life was independent before Christ. And then after Christ, I still had an independent behavior. And so we all connected. And the family here I met, I know their pastor. I know the pastor's sister better than Pastor Purvis. And I'm up with everything. They'll call me or email me, just like when Chuck came down. I know Chuck well from the group over in Colorado. And we have a deliverance team up there also that I was affiliated with for some time. I think Nathan was also. And it's just so many connections here. And we're learning. You know, we're going from glory to glory. And we all got issues. If I could sit you down, sometimes I get real close to telling you some things that I might be going through and then somebody kind of interferes. So then you say, "Well, I think he's going to get ready to tell me something." Well, yes, because you might come with a rake, but I got a backhoe. You know, you say cigarette, I'll say crack. Okay? You say sin, I'll say ha-ha. You say you killed, I murdered. Okay, so I'm just very pleased to be saved, and I'm very pleased that God has brought me through Lake Hamilton to the apostolic leadership of Pastor Glenn Miller. And forgive me if you, from time to time, you may hear me address him as Brother Glenn. I don't think I might say Glenn too often. If I do, it's just not like me. But I know that he has given us the liberty to address him, so, and that's good. It's good for us to understand, but let him respect him, you know. And I'm just deeply honored and grateful to God to have to be under authority. I'm not going to talk about authority. I know Independence Day, he knows how patriotic I am. And then I was here in May, so I really tried to, if the Lord lead, to share something on soldiers and combat and military attitudes, when particularly at times like these, but I'm not led here tonight to do so. But I will say this, is that that you're not going to get very far in any aspect of the gospel if you do not understand submission. Your commission, I think, is in direct relationship to your submission. You want to go high, go low. The lower you go, the higher you go. 10 years ago, a brother from Arizona, I'll never forget, he reached out there and he said, "Hey, brother." He said, "Hablo Español." I said, "No, Jesus." Can't think of his name. It was one of your wife's, your wife mentored him. You know what I'm talking about. He got a church up in Arizona. I can't think of his name right now. Patty? Yeah! I got to get in touch with him, invite him to Texas. And he was talking about opening up a Bible school. You know, and it may not mean anything to us. I was sitting out just like you. I wasn't even teaching at the camp then. And but from that, it made me get involved for the next 8 years in studies, young people. And I watched my grandchildren. They were watching me going to school, taking 4 subjects a night, twice a week for years. And I just finished with my master's about a month ago. And I have no idea out of all the schools in the nation. And came for the graduation ceremony that I was going to be valedictorian. Yeah. So, I say this only, if there was no children here, I wouldn't even have brought it up. Okay, but for the sake of the children, we have saw at our local ministry, we have encouraged our young people to study, to show yourselves approved. We have also had children in our group that were homeschooled also, and we've seen success. I had children laugh at me. Yeah. Because I think a real good relationship. I think everybody knows the line with pastors, but I think the children know that I love them. And I like to have fun. And so, but I would tell them things. I'd pray for them and tell them, "Okay, you're going to make straight A's. We're going to do this. We're going to do that." They just laugh at me. "Straight A's, ha!" You know, stuff like that. And I'm telling you, I have a whole bunch of young people make straight A's in high school, get scholarships. And many of them are going on with life. And when they're in Texas, they come by the church and I get them to testify. You know, and things like that. So, I believe that they are blocking principalities, difficult learning spirits that are assigned to hinder our children. And the parents at that time need to do some deliverance. And another little nugget there before I get into this evening's message. Oh boy, is that someone called me and said, "Pastor, I got a son that's attention deficit disorder. I got a son that's this, or a daughter that has a problem, and we just really need to come over and see you like yesterday." I said, "Well, okay, I'll meet with you Monday night. How about you and your husband meet me at the house Monday night?" "Well, okay, we can all be there." I said, "I didn't say that. I said, you and your husband Monday night. I'm going to work with them for a season before we even get to the baby. I have seen restoration in the child when I dealt with the parents. And never prayed for the child. I've seen it. So nobody can tell me otherwise. I didn't see God do. A man that had an experience with the Lord is not the mercy of another man's testimony." Did I get it right? Jesse P. and Lewis? Okay. I get it. Okay. All right, so I had the experience, so it didn't matter what you said, I had it. We need to discipline our children. I discipline my children. I have my oldest son, he's saved, and he studied Jewish things like Dr. No's son does, I don't know. And I'm getting ready to install him to start teaching a special service so we can teach on a different feast and tabernacles and all that. And he's 31, and he's in charge of my estate. In other words, if something happened to me or his mother, well, then it's his responsibility to see that all the children get our estate and all that. And I trust my children that way. My grandchildren the same way. They know the line. But they're happy. I took my granddaughter shopping the other night. She's getting ready to go to camp. She couldn't be here. She's going. She promised to go to camp with some other children. I said, "Well, let's go. You need to go shopping. Your mama got to go to church. She's not going to take you. Daddy going somewhere." She said, "Okay, Grandpa." So I took her. She had these little cheap $5.99 gym shorts she wanted to get from Academy. I said, get them bad ones, you know, them real long ones, you know, look real good. Huh? I said, you know how your papa is. Get the best. I don't care what it costs. So I don't mind spoiling now. But see, sometimes we have a misunderstanding about the concept. The Bible says if you spare a rod, you hate the child. I want to spoil my children. All right, I'm not talking about giving them evil things. I'm just talking about I knew that she needed to dress appropriately, but the cheap way was an undressed way. I didn't need to tell her that. I know what she needed. Okay, and so sometimes we don't want to use this fatty mass back here. This is a big fatty mass back here called buttocks, and it can take a good blow. And guess what? You can feel it all over. But I don't think the Lord intends for us to whoop it up on our children's heads and beat them all in the face. Because the same strike that you strike inappropriately, expect that child to strike somebody else inappropriately one day. If it's a boy, it'll be his woman. If it's a woman, it'll be her man. And please believe me, I know what I'm talking about because I've been hitting the head with bread cleavers and everything else. What do you call those things you roll blade dough with? Rolling pin. That was the most hardest thing I was hit with. I've been hit with baseballs and everything else, but I mean, that was the most difficult one. And guess what? It didn't even knock me out. It just sort of dazed me because I was hard-headed. Not anymore, in Jesus' name. But I still want to add a little note to that because I am still going through a lot of deliverance. And I just have such wonderful friends. Some of you, I try to open up and tell you things, but you want to talk so much, you don't hear nothing. Because I trust you, and I feel like the competency that God's given me in the ministry of spiritual warfare is to be able to receive also, not just always give. So I try to open up when I feel comfortable where I can open up, because I know that certain things might manifest to me, and I know that because of your sharp discernment and keen walk with God, you may pick it up. And I want you to know that I'm not ignorant of it either. I'm trying to get free. So it's that's the biggest battle I've had for a while. The enemy tried to shut down the ministry because I want to know how long it's going to take to get free. And Bishop was talking today in the service. He just said, come out. I said, well, that was simple. I mean, next time it manifests in me, I'm going to say, come out. So I'm telling you what to do, but I don't be doing it. Here I am. I was telling Bishop earlier, it's like a balloon. I blow up a balloon and it break up in 20 pieces. And then I'll search 5 weeks on this and I'll go 5 generations back on that. I'm trying to find out why this demon manifested in me. All right. And it was something simple. All I do is say, come out. I don't even think about that. So you might say, oh, this man of God, you know, God done raised up, written several books and all these other things and stuff, traveling around the world. And, so there'll be times when I'll stand up here and it'll be all, okay. And then, but tonight I want to share with you that I'm part of you and you're part of me. We're in the body. See, the Holy Spirit baptized us in the body. The Holy Spirit didn't separate us from the body, as some people teach. And so, tonight, we don't have a lot of time. So hopefully, I can share a few minutes about the unclean spirit and how it might affect every one of us. Because if you're sitting in here tonight and you're thinking that, well, I'm really already pretty cleaned up and everything, I just want to learn because I got people at the local church to go help them. Well, that's fine. I used to think that way too. It doesn't work that way. And also, I'm a networker, and I'll do anything, invest everything I have. And you can ask my wife, because she has to restrain me sometimes. Whatever it takes to make the vision God's given me, make it. We'll make it happen. And sometimes we look too far. We look at the internet and the newspaper ads, and we look for other people that's already been built works. And amongst us is what we need in order to fulfill the visions at our local works. So I would implore unto you pastors are here that you would look amongst you and take those that are accountable for the needs that we have instead of waiting for the newsletter to come in the mail and say, oh, invite that youth group to our church. We got a youth group here. We got a prophetic group here. We got an apostolic group here. We got a deliverance ministry here. We got tabernacle teachers here. Search amongst you. Find those that are accountable. And then that's who we invite in. I don't have to go around the world to find something, because 9 churches and the group that I'm part of has used that particular individual. Know those that you labor amongst. So, I mean, you know, set aside, you know, $400 air tickets for 2 boys, or 2 young men, excuse me, and a hotel. No, you don't put them in a hotel, you put them in your house. And bring them in there to bless them youth. And get them young ladies too, because like Angela, all of them, a preacher, she's a preacher, mom and daddy preacher. And y'all met Angela
Because she's one of the team leaders too, huh? Y'all going to introduce him later? Oh, you already have. First night probably, huh? I wasn't here. I wasn't here. Okay. Oh, praise God. Okay. Amen. Amen. And so that's where we get our nuggets from. We get our help. We look amongst each other and get that help. And we say we're not in tradition, but sometimes we just tend to be traditional. I don't know. Anyway, about this unclean spirit, I found that many non-believers as well as believers have some of the most unquestionable behaviors when it comes to cleansingness. Homes and cars are so cluttered. I think that's a coined expression we call clutter queen. I think Monty Mulkey wrote a real excellent booklet on the clutter queen. My notes did not come from his teaching because I forgot to read it. but I know it because I read it a year or two ago or something like that. Then Monty was in Texas with us a few months ago. There are some common and then there are some uncommon traits that can tend to identify the unclean spirit at work. Sometimes you can discern individuals that are very, very extreme, totally extreme when it comes to cleanliness. And I believe many times it's because they're attempting to destroy their demonic presence or the feelings of defilement within. And so they just clean and clean and scrub and scrub and scrub. Then other times, others can exhibit just total unclean practices, and they are unaware that an unclean spirit is at work. Totally unaware. So hopefully tonight we'll target this principality, we'll throw them out. It'll be something for the young people too, because as a youth, I had things done to me, and it was an attempt by unclean spirits to be imparted in my life. And I'm not going to cover anything from a sexual perspective, but it's just some very basic things that children have to deal with bullies and things like that. So it's going to kind of even address some of the young people to some extent. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, the very first authority that's given to Jesus' disciples was to cast out unclean spirits. We tend to overlook that. But in Matthew 10:1, it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits," specifically. He says right here, "unclean spirits, to do what? To cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases." So I don't think we should take this commission lightly. And as I mentioned in May, Pastor Glenn and Sister Jared was sitting where they were sitting, and I mentioned that I think that sometimes we don't take enough time out to explore and to look at this principality. We tend to look at its fruit, because the fruit branch out into their own strong men, and we tend to fight the fruit that has branched out into its own strong man and never go back to its origin, which is unclean spirit. Okay. In Leviticus, the 15th chapter, we ask some of you to turn there, hopefully, with me. And we find here in the first and second verse, I'm not going to cover all of the laws here dealing with the issues of cleansing and defilement, but I want to just point out just a couple of things for the sake of time. I'm going to try to keep us where we need to be and ask that you would go back and do your studies, and that way you can get it more in context. In the 15th chapter of Leviticus, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man had a running issue out of his flesh, because his issue is, he is unclean, or because of his issue, he's unclean." Then in verse 19, it addresses the woman. "And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean even unto the even." Now, I want to take a moment out and just sort of share with you that just some very basics about the running issues of men and women. In verse 19, the reference here is to a discharge, whether from a venereal disease or a menstrual issue or any other uncleanness. But the reference here, the total reference here in this chapter, a point being, is to some bodily uncleanness. Some translations render this issue as gonorrhea. All right, so we're talking about veterans here, and I know a lot of veterans that brought that stuff here. And this is a very common disease in our society today. It was very, very common during the Capone years, and particularly in Hot Springs, because this is not the only area, but there are some bathing areas there that were designed to try to cleanse people of certain syphilis and gonorrhea diseases, if I'm not mistaken. I hadn't done a study in a long time, but so in some of those baths over there. But anyway, the truth of the matter is that such diseases between men and women have been known from the early ages, very early ages, in countries where public prostitution has been promoted and religious ceremonies to idols and temple prostitutes are. These diseases were and are very common, even today. Many unfaithful individuals bring these diseases and other type of diseases home to their spouses today. And sadly, because of the embarrassment, many never go to church leadership for deliverance. They want to go to restore the marriage. They're not going to say anything about the sickness they had got to. Only to the physicians they tell that. And others are not in a ministry where teachers can help them get cleansed of these demons without the dread of embarrassment. So, if you or I have ever had gonorrhea, never had the guts or the impression on your heart to share it with another person, confession is good for the soul, guess what? We get to do it tonight without being embarrassed. So if you didn't learn anything about us, understand why you have to have the balance of spiritual warfare in your ministries, tonight you at least get that. Then you look at verse 8, and verse 8 of this same chapter, this is a very unusual thing because now we're going to look at how the behavior, or one of the behaviors of the unclean spirit is. And it says, and if he that had the issue spit upon him that is clean, then he should wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Today, we are targeting the efforts, or this effort of an unclean spirit to defile a clean person. Indicated in verse 8 here. Where are you going with this? I believe that it's clear from scripture references of this principality that they don't like to be alone, number one. And they're going to continue to invite other principalities to come on board and to occupy an individual with them. Spitting on a person is just one way to defile a person. I remember when I was in Indiana, I'm going to say approximately 15 years ago, teaching up in Jeffersonville, Indiana, teaching a spiritual warfare evening. And the brother that I became friends with, and he pastored me. I was his pastor, but he pastored me in the tabernacles. He taught me 7 years of tabernacles, in the spirit, by the way. But I was up there teaching spiritual warfare, and there was a gentleman sitting directly in front of me about, 20 feet, 10, 15, 20 feet, I don't know, it's very difficult for me to measure the distance, but it was pretty good distance. I'm on the other side. And for some reason, when he spit, it traveled a long ways. It hit me directly right in the middle of my forehead, right in my eyes. Oh, and I did not have shades on. And I was in my 30s, so I wasn't wearing glasses. And I grabbed my handkerchief. I put my head down. I said, I'm buying you in the name of Jesus. I bind this demon. And I grabbed my handkerchief and I cleaned my face up and I put it down like that. I had then bound it. So I went on to finish my lesson. So after service, the young man came out to me. I could see his face. I know he was involved in rock music and Satanism. And he told me, he said, Pastor, I'm just so sorry. I said, son, you okay? You okay? Well, I'm just so sorry. I didn't mean to spit. I said, I know it was a demon. I said, we've got some prayer. You're going to be okay. It's okay. He said, I'm just so sorry. I went to this other church and the deacons beat me up when I did that. I wasn't trying to do nothing. So our people are going to places, or God's people are going to places and getting whooped up when the demons manifest. I says, no, I didn't want to beat you up. I just want to get the demon out. Many of you have been spit on, likely, more than likely, before salvation, because I've been spit on before and after. I was spit on here just about a year ago, I think. One of the young men, he's having some problems. Well, he used to be real bad, just spit all the time, but he had a dyslexia problem. He's a very brilliant guy. He read the Bible. So now when we're in Bible class, he sits down, Pastor Dean, and Pastor, my senior pastor, local pastor. I have a local pastor also. I attend every week. So now Brother Ed Johnson is overseeing that work. So we got a young man there. He's a young guy, and he's going through attention deficit disorder, trying to get free. And so when I challenged his spirit, they just turned around and spit on me. So now they stopped doing that, so we must have got that demon. And one day he asked me, he said, Brother Jim, you think I got an unclean spirit? I said, yes. So I've been spit on before and after, but many of you have been spit on. Some of you have forgot because you forgive so easy. And that's good. You're supposed to because you're a Christian. But maybe the Lord's trying to dig it up, but you're saying, I don't need to. I'm religious. Son, die. Hallelujah. I'm saying I'm one of those that, like a friend of mine, he's deceased and going to be with the Lord. Now he used to tell me, he said, you so hard. He said, I need to quote a scripture to you right now. He said, because I didn't understand it at the time. Because I mean, I have to deal with it right now. He said, you don't have a right to judge yourself. He said, you're a servant of God. And Paul, as Paul said, he's a servant of God. He don't have a right to judge himself. judge another man. And I was so hard on myself, because I'm still hard when it comes to denying self, crucifying flesh, and following Jesus. But I had to turn this thing into a situation where it was insecurity and rejection operating. And you can cross the line so easy in this thing. So that's why you need mentors. That's why you need somebody to get you back on the right track. Wait a minute, you're off track here. You say, well, you're the pastor. You're the one who got all these ministers working with you. And you have to go to somebody?
Mm-hmm.
And I covered their advice and experience and love. And I don't ever want to be the one in charge. I just want them to just live forever, because we are going to live forever. But Lord, I'm just so blessed to have leadership. I'm just so blessed. And if you've got a question about, well, I can't find a deliverance church in my city, or what should I do, and I'm the church of the chosen frozen, I don't like my pastor, they don't speak in tongues, whatever. But then I wrote a booklet. When I say I wrote a booklet, I say I was impressed with the Lord. By the way, all of the books that I give to the camp, I do not take anything. I pay for my own publishing. Actually, our church does. My church takes care of all of the publishing rights and all that. So we give everything to Lake Hamilton. We ask for nothing. So if I sound like a promoted book, I am. And we don't take anything for it, though. It all comes to the camp. All right, so a couple of years ago when the Lord gave me Strange Fire, it's because I kept hearing the hearts of people coming to me telling me the problems they had. And every time I'd ask them questions, none of them had cover. They was just without cover. It was just like they was being sent out there on a mission, and they just was gone home, you know, just ready to go, lock and load. But they had no strategy. They had no plan. They just was wide open, so they didn't have cover. And so then, 2 years later, God gave me the manual. And in the manual, I share a little bit more about locating a church and a place to fellowship and get under apostolic covering, to come under cover. And anyway, hopefully you'll consider that booklet. It is a very simplified booklet that will fit in the back pocket of a man or the little bag of a female. So, but I don't want to appear that I'm promoting, but I'm trying to share information, and that we're not going to take anything for it. We're giving it all to the camp. In Luke, the fourth chapter of Luke, let's look at some of the characteristics of this principality. Luke, the fourth chapter, verse 33. We'll look at three verses here. In Luke 4:33, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean demon, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us, a unclean demon, let us alone. Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? How know thee who thou art? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold your peace, come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. Now, it is clear that the scriptures in 33 say it was an unclean spirit. But the demon, when confronted by the Lord, cried out, let us, in verse 34, alone. They don't want to be alone. And they enjoy trafficking in the souls of men. Scriptures clearly tell us that although they may be referred to as an unclean spirit, they are not alone. They attempt to move in our spiritual houses and or our physical homes and to destroy the family. Sometimes it's that nephew or that cousin or that niece, and you're trying to do right, and you just don't want to ask them to leave. And sometimes you got to let them go. I gave all of my children and my grandchildren to the Lord, and because I know I can't really say anything about my children. I mean, you know, they had their days. But I had mine with them. And they watched our life. You know, they watched it. And my son was telling me the other day, we were doing some business transaction. And I was telling him, I said, I'm going to do this and do that. And he said, Daddy, and I said, wait a minute. He said, you always have been fair with me. You ain't never done. He said, all my life. He just, you know, he was honoring me. He said, I'm not even concerned about that. And I was letting him know I was going to make sure he got a good return on my investment that he helped find. Instead of just a finder's fee. And he said, Dad, you've always done good by me. He said, whatever you do, I'm fine. And I just looked at him. The Lord told me, don't say nothing. Just shut up. And, you know, I like to talk, so I'm ready to talk, but I couldn't. What can I say? And my son told me. And in Mark, the fifth chapter, where it talks about the Gadarene, it also has shows this unclean spirit. In Mark, the fifth chapter, verse 1, it says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Mark 5:2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Just supernatural strength there. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And the Spirit cried up, of course, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "What I have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, by God, that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Jesus called this principality unclean and asked him his name for our edification, so that we might know. And the demonic power responded by saying his name was Legion. We know that the word that we see Legion, that is in reference to a regiment of troopers, anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 in that particular Legion. And we know that when we see Legion illustrated in the Bible, we know that their purpose is total possession of an individual. For he said, "We are many." They don't want to be alone. Unclean spirits don't want to be alone. I like what the young fellows were saying earlier.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there.